This podcast contains strong language and adult themes, so if that's not your cup of tea, then go and listen to something else. But if it is, then we're happy to have you. So welcome. Da 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 da. Sting it at the da da da. Sting it at the da da. I'm Holly, I'm single and I live in Manchester.
And I'm Jess, I'm a married mum of two and live in Devon.
Despite our differences, we are still the best of friends and we have been since the day we were born.
So welcome to our podcast, Two Kids and a Best Friend, where we discuss everything from night feeds to nights out, pop culture, embarrassing stories and confessions.
We messed up, didn't we?
We did. I mean, I like to put the blame on you, but you're not taking that blame, are you?
No, I'm not.
So basically, for our listeners, what we're talking about is the fact that when we've been recording our podcasts, we've been just taking the audio from our Zoom conversations and our Zoom video. So Holly's been extracting the audio and using that. And well, I've been listening to it back and thinking, oh, you know, for expensive microphones that Holly made us buy, you know, £160 each, our audio is not that great compared to all the other podcasts I listened to.
I did think that, to be fair. Yeah. And I thought, I mean, a lot of the professional podcasts, though, they are in a proper studio and they have sound engineers and all of that stuff. So there is that. We're both sat in our houses and I'm doing the editing. And even when I do, like, stuff for work, I have a sound engineer that makes everything sound great. So the edit is going to be a bit like jolting that I do. It's probably not going to be perfect, but yeah, like I just thought I almost didn't want to admit that I'd ripped us off by buying these expensive microphones, and now I'm really glad.
I was thinking, shit, we could have bought a shitty £30 microphone and had the same bloody output.
And I just think now we've probably lost listeners, not because of the content of, because we're hilarious, but because of the shocking audio quality, but better late than never.
It has taken us till episode 6, but we are going to have an even better podcast for our listeners now because our sound's going to be better.
Exactly. And, you know, now you get to hear our sexy little voices in high definition, babies. So enjoy it.
Love it. Oh, and also, before we start, I just want to give a shout out to our number one fan, who is Samantha, Holly's mother. I have to say, every week within half an hour of our podcast being released, I'll get a message from her. Loved it, girlies. You know, she's always first listener, to the point where when our first ever episode was released, she messaged me and Holly saying, listening now. We hadn't even realised it had been released yet. We couldn't even find it on our Spotify. And she was listening.
She was, bless her. I love her. I know. What was it you said to me the other day? The difference between our mums in response to our podcasts. Because my mum, she's always reacting, isn't she, to every single Instagram story that we ever post.
I think my mum uses Instagram.
And you have had to ask her, haven't you? Well, have you listened to the podcast? We've got 4 episodes out now.
I know. I don't get weekly updates from my mum saying loved it. I get, oh, lovely for me to listen about big penises and thrush. Which brings me on to my current dilemma, which is, so obviously me and Ollie had our sexy weekend away last weekend for the wedding, as our listeners would have heard me talk about last week when I sat in my lovely hotel room. So Friday night we had, you know, good sex, whatever. I won't go into too much details. Mum's listening.
Well, my mum's definitely listening. I don't know if your mum is. And what I'll do now to celebrate your sexual escapades, because I know, listeners, I know in right details. Sorry, Ollie. I am going to insert a little round of applause here.
Love that. So yeah, obviously we had good sex last week and maybe a little bit too good, because ever since I have had thrush, like really bad thrush as well. And it's just not going.
being a woman is so hard.
Yeah.
Anything can cause it. It can be your period, being run down, obviously sex, like if you have a little tear or whatever in there, like so much. And like, I just think it's so incredibly annoying being a woman when you've got things like thrush and BV to contend with. Some people's willies just don't get on with your pH and it throws it off.
I was trying to explain this to Ollie because he was like, why have you got thrush after we have sex?
It could be a little tear or something, yeah.
But do you know what as well? It's so expensive. So I went in. So this is my thing so far, right? Because I'm trying, obviously maternity pay at the minute. I'm trying not to spend too much. So I went in and I thought, oh, it can't be, you know, proper thrush. So I bought something called like, not Caniston, Canacool. And it's just meant to
Is it the Aldi special buy version?
It was Tesco, but it was actually the Caniston brand. I'll tell you that. Then it instantly banned when I put it on, and I read the instructions and it was like, if it bans, don't use it. So I was like, oh shit. So I spent a fiver on that, trying to save from spending 15 quid on the like proper Caniston duo stuff. So then I went back to the pharmacy, and instead of spending 15 quid on the Caniston, like the pessary and the cream, I opted just to get the cream because I thought it's just externally. But I've been using that for like 3 days now and it's still not going. So I'm probably have to go back, spend another fucking 15 quid on the pessary. I should have just done that in the first place. So I've ended up spending double.
When I've had a guy give me issues before, I've just like wanted to send them the invoice.
But could you imagine messaging someone and being like, oh, by the way, I've got fresh now. Can you transfer me 15 quid to buy myself some Caniston cream?
Oh, it's frigging cozy lives. Takes two to tango. It is awful. It ruins your day. It ruins your whole everything. When you can literally feel it like throbbing. Not in a good way.
I've had it so bad before where I'm laid on the bed, legs wide open, naked, with like an ice pack or something there trying to cool it. So yeah, so that was our Friday night. Then obviously we had the wedding, which was amazing. So Ollie drank his first ever pint of Guinness. So this is like early on in the day, he had a pint of Guinness. He had never drank it before, but Ollie has an intolerance to something because he drank red wine before and then...
Right, okay. I know exactly what this is. It'll be the sulfate. What? It'll be the sulfates. There are specific sulfates. So like, I know people that can't drink red wine and stuff, and it makes them violently vomit and sick.
This happened to Ollie. So he had red wine before and he was sick all night, and he was like, I only had like a couple of sips of red wine, and he was vomiting, shitting everywhere. It was horrendous. So anyway, he had this pint of Guinness, and within, this was like after the wedding, just as we sit down for the meal, and then as going on like an hour in or something, he's starting to say, oh, I don't feel good. So after the wedding and the speeches or whatever, we went back to the room to like freshen up, and he was like, I need to be sick. And I took off my Skims because I was bloated from the free course meal, so you know, it's not like glamorous when we went back to the room. And then he was sick, and then we went back downstairs and he was just like, I can't drink, I can't do anything. So he ended up going back to the room early. I stayed downstairs until the end, obvs. So I was on my own, basically. Everyone else in their couples. And then when I went back up to the room, he was like, oh, I don't feel good. And I was like, oh, like, you'll be fine. Here's some water. I bought him up some water. Well, he was sick and had the shits all night, to the point where, like, I woke up at, like, 4 a.m. to, like, him vomiting. Then I just heard, Jess, and I was like, what? He was like, can I have a blanket? So I go into the bathroom and he's laid naked on the floor. I shouldn't laugh because it's a shame, really, because I know how poorly you feel when it happens, but he's laid naked vulnerable on the floor, curled up in a ball,
like the fetal position.
Yeah, literally like a fucking fetus. And I was like, ugh. So I just like chucked the blanket on him and went straight back to sleep. I didn't even ask him if he needed help, bless him. But yeah, then the next day he woke up, he couldn't even come down for breakfast, and then I had to drive like the 2.5 hour drive home with him asleep next to me. So yeah, brilliant weekend away for us, wasn't it? I mean, I did bring two pairs of lingerie and only one got to see the light of day. So
two was just wishful thinking.
So yeah, that was my romantic weekend away story.
As long as you're all right, well, obviously we know your Fanny's not all right, but as long as Ollie's all right now, hopefully.
Ollie's fucking fine now. He was ill all Sunday, and then, oh, lo and behold, woke up Monday morning, bloody brilliant. He felt great and then fucked off all day drinking to watch Bristol City v Plymouth Argyle. Because obviously he's a Bristol City fan, isn't he?
Yeah, controversial.
So I was left alone with the kids from 9 till 7, so that went down well, didn't it?
Conveniently,
yeah, woke up bloody brilliant on the Monday.
Did he go with his dad?
He went with his brother and his dad, yeah.
They like to lead him astray, don't they?
Are you talking about the wedding night?
I am indeed.
Oh, God, the wedding night.
Well, the night before the wedding, we should say.
The night before the wedding, the night that caused me almost to not walk down the aisle the next day.
You were always going to walk down that aisle, Jess. Who are we kidding?
What happened was Ollie... So the night before the wedding, me, Holly and my bridesmaids and my mum all stayed at the hotel for the wedding the night before. Ollie stayed at his mum's house. So he was going out with his dad and his brother for like a pub crawl the night before the wedding.
That's like an old-fashioned thing to do, isn't it? They used it to is have an old-fashioned thing to do the night before.
Yeah, this is what Ollie's dad said. He's like, oh, what's all this weeks, months before the wedding nowadays? It's meant to be the night before. So anyway, he was like, of course it's Ollie's wedding. We're going to go on a pub crawl. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. Oh, God, it still makes me angry to this day. Like, talking about it, I still get bitter about honest.
I was pissed off because I was there next to you, desperately wanting to go to sleep. And every 2 minutes, you were refreshing his dad's Facebook because he was checking in every pub they went. You were like, why are they still out?
His dad is in the Navy, so he's got a really dry sense of humour, doesn't he? So I've always got on with Ollie's dad, apart from this one night, where he's checking them in to every pub that they go in. So it's all right at the beginning of the night, isn't it? Like, you know, local pubs to their thing, like 7, 8, 9, 10. And then the hours start going on and he's still checking them in.
We were in the early hours, weren't we?
So me and Holly shared a room the night before the wedding, and poor Holly.
Yeah.
You... I'm just thinking back to me in a shitty. So I was like, me and Ollie had pacing. Said we're not messaging each other the night before the wedding or anything, because like I just like the thought of, you know, not speaking to each other and then seeing each other when we walk down the aisle. So I'm seeing his dad check him in every hour, and I'm going to Holly, this is a fucking joke. This is the night before our wedding. He's out getting pissed. What's he going to be like tomorrow if he's hungover on our wedding day? I won't marry him, the dickhead. Like, I was like, and poor Holly, I just remember you sat next to me thinking, well, I ain't getting any fucking sleep, am I? And cracking open the pot of Pringles at 2 in the morning.
And I was just laid there, and I can still hear it to this day. I remember going, well, I may as well open these then. We're not going to sleep, are we? So
you were just laid there eating the Pringles while I was refreshing my phone. Then I think I messaged Ollie's mum like at like 1 in the morning because I could see she was active, like, are the boys home yet, blah blah blah, like. And she said she was up stressing because she was like had to sort them all out in the morning and everything, so she couldn't sleep. And then it got to what, 4 in the morning, and Ollie's dad checked them in to Pop Wild, and then at 5 in the morning checked them in to Temptations. For anyone who doesn't know, is a strip club.
I forgot honestly about that bit.
Yeah, the fucking strip club. So I'm sat here, like, to be fair, me and Ollie have a rule. He's not allowed in any strip clubs. It's just a rule. So I knew Ollie wouldn't have gone to a strip club. So at that point, Ollie's dad was just doing it to try and torment me, which, honestly, like, who tries to torment the bride the night of her wedding? Like, that was too far, Chalky. Too far. Honestly.
At the time, we were livid, but... now it's funny. That's
well, it funny. Well, I'll tell you what, it's funny up. But I'm still bitter about it. I'm still like, I saw him the other day and I mentioned it. I said, you know, this story's gonna come out on the podcast, Chalky. And he was like, great, am I gonna start getting hate mail? But it's been George's birthday, so he actually had his birthday party today.
So does he start school in September?
He starts school in September. We find out in just over a week his school placement. So I feel sick about it. I just feel sick about it. Like the thought of him going into big school and, oh, it's just horrible. But he's so sweet. We finally got rid of his dummy, which he calls his Dodo this week, which I cried. So he only has his Dodo when he goes to sleep at night. So he always goes, where's Dodo? And he like has his Dodo and he goes to sleep. And we were like, right, he's four now. We do need to take it away. So on his actual birthday, we said, right, one more night and you're a big boy now because you're four. So we're going to put it in the bin tomorrow and then that's it. And he was like, one more night. And we were like, yes, yes, one more night. He was like, okay, one more night. So we let him have it for one more night. And then in the morning, he remembered. So he got up and he ran to the bin and he was like, Dodo. And he put his Dodo in the bin. So we were like,
oh, bless him.
So that was cute. So then nighttime came. Where's Dodo? Oh, don't you remember, George? We put it in the bin. Well, he went to the bin and opened it and tried to get it out. We were like, no, George, no. Like, remember, we put it in the bin. We've got rid of it now. And he went to sleep that night crying out for his Dodo. I was crying. But then he went to sleep. He slept through the night. And then the following night, he didn't even ask for it at all. So you got to do it. But yeah, that has made me really sad because it is like the end of an era a little bit. Like, it's no more dummies for him. Like, he's a big boy now.
Oh, time flies.
So what about you? What's new with you this week?
Been really, really busy. Been a real stressful week. But nothing that I will tell you all about on this podcast because we're going to keep it all very lighthearted. But I have just had, well, a couple of weeks ago, I had my lips dissolved. I only had a little bit of lip filler left in the top lip anyway from having it about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So it didn't make too much difference having it dissolved. But I think for me, it was more of a psychological thing than anything else. Like there wasn't that much left in the top anyway. But even just I could see a huge difference just from that tiny little bit. And basically, my lips are like one of my biggest insecurities and I don't want them to be massive and like, you know, at the minute you can see them, Jess, and they are, but it's because they're so swollen. Like I remember when I had them done before they were,
they do so swell a lot fast.
So they will go down a bit, but even so I do, like now I've got them, I just feel
More confident with lips, don't you? Like I feel like there's this thing where people think, oh, you get filler and you're gonna look like, you know, that photo of Molly May when she had all that filler. Like, but you don't, like, it is really subtle.
But that's like, also it depends on the person you go to, because like the girl that I saw, obviously I sent her photos of my face. I was like, I really want to balance out my natural features and just everything to look in proportion, so I don't want to look fake. And obviously I had that little bump on my nose from when I walked into that glass door when I was drunk in my mate's garden when I was 14. So I had that like just tiny bit of filler around the bump, so just even it doesn't look like a bump anymore, and it just looks so nice. And then I had my lips done and a tiny little bit in my chin, and it's like now my face just looks completely in proportion, and it's like tiny little tweaks.
You can never even know either. No.
whereas like the photo of Molly May, that's a classic example of like someone who's just gone, I want this there, okay, I'll do it for you. Whereas like she said to me, nope, you don't need that. You don't need that there. Yes, you don't need that. What you need is this. And like she could have easily like wanted more money off me.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God, that photo of Molly May is so bad. Like,
I know. The fact she looks great now,
she let it. She looks great now, but the fact that she let it get to that, like, I can't believe it's real.
That's influencer pressure, though, I think, as well, isn't it? And, you know, whereas now she's much more, like, chilled, clean girl aesthetic. She's pretty much invented the clean girl aesthetic. But now I've got this whopping, like, bruise on my lips. And you know how they say you're not supposed to wear makeup for 24 hours after, and you're not allowed to drink alcohol. I'm going out for that nice meal tonight. You should know I accidentally put our podcast email up.
I've seen it for weeks. You've had this booked for a long time, this meal tonight.
Well, so obviously, one, I'm going to drink alcohol, and two, I'm going to wear makeup, so just wish me luck. Celebrity news of the week. Megan McKenna of TOWIE and all reality TV fames now is a singer. I actually think her and her boyfriend's relationship's very, very cute. But they announced in an Instagram reel that they were pregnant. And it was It was a really cute video, and I sent it to you, and I was having like a moment in my feels when I was sat in my hotel room lonely this week thinking, oh, that's what I want. I want that. I want to have a baby. I want to be with someone. And what did you say back to me?
So I got this message from you, like, oh, this is what I want. And my response was, oh, it's so fake. Like, the reel she posted, I just think is obviously, they've sat out their camera videoing them looking at the thing and acting all happy and all this stuff. And it's just like, I remember when both times I found out I was pregnant, I didn't have this like rush of emotion, jumping up and down, happiness, hugging each other. Like, I just think it's fake. Like, a lot of people, yeah, you're happy in that, but those kind of videos is not actually what happens in real life, I don't think. And I'll tell you what, they won't be that happy and glamorous once the baby's here and they've got shit explosions and sick everywhere and they're having an argument in the middle of the night about whose turn it is to feed the baby.
But what about when you found out you're pregnant with Ella?
My God, yeah. So we were trying for Ella for a few months. So with George, I got pregnant straight away. So I just presumed with Ella, I'd get caught straight away as well. And it took about 3 or 4 months. And I remember the time I took a test because I was doing it every month. I didn't want to disappoint myself because I was getting disappointed every month when I thought I was pregnant and I wasn't. Mm. So when I remember I took the test, left it on the bath, like came in, put my pajamas on or whatever for the evening. And then I came back and I saw it was pregnant. So I was like, oh my God, like it's a bit of a shock. So I remember I went downstairs and I was gonna try and do one of these cute reveals like you see on Instagram, but I ended up I couldn't keep it from him, so I just came downstairs and I was like, I'm pregnant. And he was eating Domino's like barbecue wings or something, and he just went, oh, like it was all over his mouth, all over his hands, and he just got up and like was like, oh, and then like gave me a hug, but like without his hands, because his hands had stuff all over it. So he was just like that, and I was like, oh. Then I was like, oh fuck, that wasn't one of those fucking cute Meghan McKenna hug each other happy bloody pregnancy find out moments, was it?
No, but it was real life, and we got a funny story about it for the podcast. Obviously our story of our friendship is bizarre, and like I think that we are kind of kindred spirits for just the weird fact of how we were born within hours of each other. If you don't know the story, go back and listen to episode 1. But I have some kind of weird sixth sense for when Jess is pregnant, haven't I guessed?
Oh my
both
God,
times
yes, you guessed both times. You were the first person to know both times.
Yep. Even your mum didn't know. Sorry, Jane, but it's because I guessed. Second time, I had a dream. That is weird.
You text me when I had like just found out, oh my God, I had a dream last night. You were pregnant.
Ollie hadn't
and
even
I was like,
cleaned his hands yet from the chicken wings.
And you had a dream and I was like, dot, 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 like, what? And you were like, oh my God, are you?
Yeah. See, we're just on the same wavelength. We're just in tune. Soul
sisters.
It's
so weird, isn't it? So another piece of celebrity news we've seen this week is, as most of you know, one of mine and Holly's favourite programmes is Selling Sunset. Chelsea from Selling Sunset has announced divorce from her husband after 7 years, which I think is a bit embarrassing for her because she's always made out on the programme how in love she is, how the perfect husband she's got.
But I mean, I mean, my gaydar's wrong. We all know this. It's on the blink, my gaydar. But he's definitely not straight.
It's funny because that's happened twice on the show now. When I've seen her, like, she talks about her husband, and I don't know what I expected, but when he made his appearance on the show, it was not that. And it same happened with Christine. Like, when you look at him, he is not who you'd picture her with. So
no,
I do think it's quite clear they both married for money. And now that they've actually probably become famous, got more money than their partners, now conveniently they've split up. But I sent Holly a funny article yesterday because it was, he had like come out to the media, Chelsea's husband, about how Chelsea's locked him out of their £3 million mansion. He can't find his Rolex, she's like taken it.
Get
he
that
can't
bag,
find
girl.
All of this like expensive stuff, and he's saying that like she's like closed bank accounts and she's doing all stuff like that. And I think it sounds awful, but to be fair, if like me and Ollie broke up, I'd be like making sure I got as much as I could.
Yeah, you'd be taking the telly off the wall and the Xbox.
If he had a Rolex, I'd be smuggling that into my suitcase.
Just put some lip oil on my sore little lippies. Honestly, my lips are like a baboon's arsehole at the minute.
Really?
So sore and bruised and red, but I mean, they look great. But
I really want to try Hailey Bieber's Road, because don't you see everyone goes on about her Road lip oil?
Yeah, I really want to try the Road one, even though I don't like Hailey Bieber.
Despise
because she's with
Hailey Bieber.
Yeah, because she was because she was mean to Selena Gomez, and she's with Justin Bieber, so basically
you don't want to give her the money.
Even though I hated Selena Gomez when she went out with Justin Bieber, so so fun fact of the week, found this out on Stephen Bartlett's podcast. By the way, interesting fact, Stephen Bartlett follows me on Twitter, but that's not the interesting
does
fact.
He?
Yes, he does, aka Diary of a CEO. But
oh my god.
Yes, because back when I had a blue tick, people followed me back that were famous, but now Elon's ruined that for me. but anyway, Stephen Bartlett is from Plymouth, where we're from.
Stephen, we know you're going to listen one day.
Oh my God, should I just message him and be like, do you want to sponsor our podcast? We're from Plymouth. Dr. Rina Malik is a urologist and pelvic surgeon. She's got a massive following on YouTube. She has 1.8 million subscribers and she posts weekly videos on sexual health education. Anyway, she was on the Diary of a CEO podcast recently with Stephen Bartlett. And there was a video that said, if men ejaculate 21 times a month, it reduces their chances of getting prostate cancer. So, I mean, at least now they've got an excuse. Before, we'd call them bloody perverts doing it all the time. Now they can say they're doing it in the name of science.
Do you think men wank every day? Like, is it a thing? Is it not?
I think it just depends on the man.
But I could see that being pretty normal, 21 times a month.
I probably do have more than that.
For fuck's sake. I listened to that podcast and there's a bit where she says that people do not have sex as much as they think, as they say they do. See, I just don't believe people when they say they have sex almost every day, because I just think...
I don't believe it. I couldn't be asked.
I don't. I do not believe it, because I think, how could you genuinely want to do it every day? And if they are doing it every day, there is no way they are having that passionate, you know, really good sex every day. A quickie, and let's be honest, what does a quickie do for a woman? Nothing. I mean, we may be really naive, or maybe we just have really low libido or whatever it's called, but...
Libido.
Libido, libido, whatever it is.
What was it last week you said? When we were talking about Harry Styles, you said, his TP, his toupee, TP toupee. But anyway, we had some feedback recently that says that people wanted us to speak about more sex content. Well,
yes,
guys, you've had a lot of it in this one. I'm clearly warming up each episode. I'm becoming less prudish by the episode.
Holly is a prude as well. Like, you are a prude, don't you? Like, I'll say things sometimes and you'll be like, Jess!
Well, what about the hen do when you forced me to go to that Star Wars sex show in Benidorm?
Me and Holly had a bit of a row. Like, she pissed me off on my hen do because my hen do was in Benidorm.
Yeah.
Like, there was this Star Wars sex show. So we were all like, oh, we're going to go to the sex show. Like, what a laugh. And Holly was like, all stuck up. Like, why do you want to go to a sex show? I don't want to go to that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, get a fucking grip. Get a stick out of your ass.
She went, well, it's my hen do, so you do what I say. So I was like, fine.
You turned up to the sex show and you had a face like a slapped ass.
Yeah, because you stood in a room, which is 99% men, all minging, middle-aged men that are perving on what's going on. It just felt like the most unnatural situation to be in. Stood there.
You're in Benidorm. It was just a laugh.
They all stood there like filming, and like, I'm thinking to myself, how many of these disgusting men have erections right now? And like, it's like, what was it, Princess Leia in Darth Vader or whatever it was. They were going around on
doing
the Segway.
Doing a 69 on us.
I'll be honest, it's impressive what they managed to do. But I remember I was stood there with my hand over my eyes and like looking down, and she went, "Stop it," like that to me, and pulled my hand down and was like, "Stop being such a prude." And then I thought, well, if I just stand there and shut my eyes instead, because I've not got my hand to my face, she won't notice. You didn't.
You were so boring and prudish that night. Just have a laugh, woman. So yeah, that was our one argument on the hen do, wasn't it?
That is an experience that I will never forget.
Now you're doing this podcast, you're gonna open up week by week, aren't you?
Because to be honest, if I cut quite a few times, I've cut out the explicit stuff we've spoken about.
You have.
I've just not felt ready for it yet. But I mean, this episode, if we cut out all the explicit stuff, we're gonna have 5 minutes left.
So for the past few weeks, we've had lots of different conversations about different things, and we haven't actually brought up anything from our childhood. So I thought we could talk about one of my favourite childhood stories this week, which is our Peter Pan obsession. So when we were, how old would you say we were? Like 7, 8, 9?
Yeah, I'd say about 7.
Yeah, we loved Peter Pan. Like, when I say love, I mean obsessed. Like, I fancied him. He was a cartoon character, but I was in love with Peter Pan.
And then the live action remake. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord.
When the live action came out, still gives me shivers. And we thought, I don't know whose idea it was, but we started writing him letters, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we were at my house one day, and we thought that we'd write Peter Pan a letter, leave the window open, and that Peter Pan would fly into our room in the night, retrieve our letter, and write back to us. And bless my mum, she did write back to us, didn't she? And left a thing of chocolate coins on there.
Oh, I never forget that. That was when you had your bunk beds, and we were like thrilled. Yeah. Absolutely thrilled. Oh. And do you know what as well? I figured out, by the way, not like any children are going to be listening to this. And if you're listening with your kids, come on now, be a better parent. Because they should not be around tiny ear holes. But I figured out pretty early doors that Santa wasn't real. Because I'm
unlike
just far...
me, who believed till I was 12 and I was going to secondary school, and my mum had to tell me that Santa wasn't real because she didn't want me to get bullied, and I cried.
That was when you were going through your phase of like actively fighting against puberty. You just didn't want your childhood to end, did you? That was, I think, another thing.
I think I probably deep down knew, but I wanted to believe.
Yeah, exactly. And I went through another phase like that as well a bit later on. But I figured it out because I'm far too inquisitive. I ask far too many questions and I noticed loads of stuff. And like, so obviously I went on to become a journalist. But I would like analyse the handwriting and figure out who it was and stuff. So I think...
You pretty figured out pretty quickly,
so,
didn't you?
So I think my mum was just like, oh, gosh, the magic of the childhood as well has to continue and everything. And I remember once my mum typed out a letter in like green font and printed it out. And we were like, have the Lost Boys got a PC world?
So do you know what? I remember this so clearly. You know me and my memory.
Yeah.
I remember your mum, bless her, wrote out a letter, but she wrote a letter thinking she'd be different and said, "This is the Lost Boys. Peter Pan's fighting Captain Hook at the minute, so we thought we'd come and give you the letter." But me and you were so traumatized reading that letter because we were so worried that Captain Hook had killed Peter Pan in the fight that we were hysterically crying. And your poor mum.
Well, I remember every single sleepover that we were at together, whether it was at mine or at yours, our mums like indulged us with this. They just let us believe, and they probably thought it was like really sweet, and it was. And like, it's actually something that was really unique, I think, for us and our friendship, because other kids wrote to like Tooth Fairy and Santa and stuff. We were getting really pissed off that we kept asking to come to Neverland and tell him to take us to Neverland, and he wasn't coming to get us. So we were obviously so we were really, really upset. And I remember physically being in my bedroom, packing a little rucksack with lots of stuff, going in the medicine cabinet, getting the pseudogram.
No, this is what I was gonna say.
Being like, Nurse Wendy.
We took it too far one day at your house, so we decided that that was the night we were going to go to Neverland, and I was Wendy, and I told you that you had to be the nurse for the Lost Boys.
Yeah, of course you were going to be Wendy, because you wanted to kiss Peter.
I was Wendy, obviously. You agreed that you'd be the nurse. So anyway, we had rucksacks and we went downstairs to your mum's like cabinet and we emptied everything, like medicine, Sudocrem. We got food because we thought they might be hungry. And your mum was fuming because we had like massive rucksacks packed.
And then we were absolutely devastated the next day that we'd gone to all that effort and we obviously weren't going to Neverland.
We didn't go. I genuinely really believed we did as well.
It was at that point that our mums were like, this has just gone too far now. We can't carry
because
on.
They used to write that on the letters back to us, I didn't want to wake you because you were sleeping. So we used to write, please wake us if we're
wake
sleeping.
Wake us up for God's sake. We hate it here. We hate it. What's so special about Wendy anyway that we've not got? It's the hope that kills you. This is why I'm so delusional. That's why I'm so delusional in my life. I'm in, not in Neverland, I'm in Delululand. So we've not got any confessions this week because you guys are shit. So
we ain't getting the questions coming in from you. So please, please do.
Ask us questions that you want advice to, our opinions on. Send us in your funny stories that we can laugh about. We'll keep you anonymous if you want to be anonymous. Just any kind of funny stories as well. Anything that you think is absolutely hilarious. What are the funniest things that's ever happened to you? And we really want funny childhood stuff, like things you did as kids that were just bizarre and funny, because we all did bizarre and funny stuff.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two Kids and a Best Friend. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and tell your mates.
And we will be back next week
with episode 7.
Lucky number 7, baby. Da 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 da